this time, I would like to introduce our first speaker.
His name is Gary from the D.C. area. Let's thank Gary.
Mercy and grace save me. I'm an addict named Gary. Amen. I want to thank the CPRNA convention for asking me to come to share. I didn't come to speak. I came to share. First of all, I'd just like to have a moment of silence for one of our dear members in the D.C. area that went home to that meeting in the sky. His name was Gary M. Thank you. You know my addict named Gary. Man, when they call me about this topic, fixing a spiritual dilemma with a material solution. Man, I'm telling you. My story started real early. I come from a pretty good family. Both parents, government workers. Upstairs our house, it was like the Cosbys in our house. Then you got down that basement. Well, they say, don't go down the basement. Right? I couldn't wait to get down the basement. We had a cold room downstairs in the basement. Now, upstairs, my father, he was a gambler, hustler, bootlegger, and my mother, good old Catholic church going. So now I'm confused early, But when I got down that basement, it was a nightclub, bar, a crap table, and a cold room. I got in that cold room. I'm here to tell you I found my brother stashed the narcotics. I found some money and a weapon. Church didn't seem that good to me now. Now, my guy, I grew up a Catholic. It was like First Holy Communion, Catechism, then I went to baptism, Muslim, then Christian, then addiction. Yeah. See, I'm the guy being so confused, but the lifestyle, well, let me say this, they call it a lifestyle, but truly it's a death style. I'm the guy that got attracted to that death style. And in the beginning, it was a lot of fun, a lot of money, and a lot of things. See, I knew about spiritual love from that church, but material made more sense to me. And let me say this. When I got here, I ain't look like this. I didn't feel like this, and I didn't sound like this when I got the Narcotics Anonymous. I thank God for you all, and it's a very special night for me tonight. You talking about fixing a spiritual dilemma? With a material solution, today would be my wife's 51st birthday. But on October the 7th, 18 months ago, she died. On October the 8th, my aunt was waiting to hear about my wife, and she died. And three more family members in 3.5 weeks died. But I never thought about using. I came in here with y'all and raised my hand and told y'all what happened. See, I'm the guy, we got some places in D.C., nice, quiet training ground places like 7th and T, 9th Street, 14th Street, nice, quiet places called Potomac Gardens. I love them kind of places. I don't know why they call it Potomac Gardens. It wasn't near the Potomac River. And they sure didn't have no gardens. It was a test site, a government test site, meaning the projects. That's the kind of lifestyle that I was attracted to. See, this spiritual thing just wasn't making sense to me. See, I liked to look slick in the beginning. Then I got up to feeling sick at the end. See, I don't ever want to forget the end. See, yeah, all them things, but let me say this. A lot of my good friends is never going to get a chance to get this. They're in federal institutions for the rest of their life. They're never going to get a chance to come in Ocean City and dip their feet in the water. They'll get it in a federal institution, maybe. They tell me to stay with them people. They call y'all them people. They say, please don't come this way, because I almost made it. And see, when I talk about mercy and grace saved me, I'm talking about mercy, not getting what I should have got, 20 to life, and getting what I should have got, this Narcotics Anonymous, that has saved my life. You're talking about from 20 to life to getting a new life, and Narcotics Anonymous. I thank God for you guys that have shown me a new way to live without using. And matter of fact, I only pretty much used, I only used one time in my life. I'm convinced all after that, I was being used. All after that, I was being used. There's no question about that. I make no mistakes about that today. See that hell of a guy with the ego and always want to look good, right? See, it was just too hard to find God when you think you God. You on them strips and telling people to get in line. You don't want no change. Right? Forming crews telling people what to do. That's what I like to do. But they didn't see me sneaking on. Getting high. They didn't see that part. So that escalated and kept going, and that lifestyle came to an end. The end. I don't ever want to forget that end. See, my story started and ended in the same neighborhood. I'm the guy that said detox was for suckers and chumps. Yeah. But I remember coming from a block of 15th Street at Independence Avenue in Washington, D.C. that I thought was my block. I known for a fact when I got down to that block, it said 15th and Independence Avenue. My name wasn't up there nowhere. I remember leaving that block and going down to the block that I lived on. Matter of fact, that block was right in front of the old D.C. jail. You think that made a difference to me? No. I remember being in one of those houses, the lifestyle that afforded me, and I had another one down the end of the street. I remember getting a knock at the door. And I looked down, there was some men in blue. And they'll tell you what to do. They say, come on out. And they took me downtown, and I came home. And I kept using and using people, and the behavior kept going. Because I couldn't find a spiritual solution. So they always told on me all of my life. I don't know why. So they came down the street to the other house, and they knocked on the door. And it was, you know, it was the same people again. I wonder why they wanted me. They told me, come on out. Again. I got down to the end of the block. And I remember something about this prayer that was in that Catholic church. God, something. I mumbled something of that, but I know I needed some help. I remember looking down at the end of that block. I seen a cemetery. I felt dead, but I didn't want to lay down. I remember in front of that cemetery was one of them houses, an eerie poop, a crack house. Now my mind telling me I'm still that hell of a guy because I'm in there in that house with an old pair of gaiters on, walking on the back of them, weighing 153 pounds, but I didn't have no problem because it was fixing a spiritual dilemma with a material solution. I had gaiters. I was all right. Now in that house with nothing on. The gas was off, the water was off, my mind was off, everything was off in that house, but the gators. I had the gators. The material things just meant the world to me. God didn't make that much sense at all at that time. I remember being in that house and knowing something was going on, and I had partners coming past there to see me, and they was bringing me a few things of this and a few things of that. And something about holding 10 all the time to make me think that I was still in the game. But it was something about them 10, because one day y'all knocking at the door no more, and I had to do something with the 10. Right? I remember in that house, it was hot, it was August. I remember in that house, it got so bad for me. I remember going to that stove and just looking down at that stove because I had something in my hand and I wasn't a Black Panther. And I remember having one of them little things, you know, I don't know why they call them straight shooters, because mine wasn't up straight at the end of mine. It was small, it burnt my eyelashes, my mustache, you know. And I remember standing over that stove for so long, praying that it worked. I stood over the stove for so long, the mouse came out and said, "Let it go, man, let it go, let it go." So I go in there and commence to sitting on that couch in August. And it's hot. It's real hot. And I remember looking over there at the fan, and I want to plug that up, but I know the electric off. I look back at the fan again. It had got so bad that house, somebody had sold the two blades out the fan. What but one blade left in the fan in that house? You talk about fixing a spiritual dilemma with a material solution. I remember going out on that front porch, and I looked over at the jail. I had just came out of there. Down in the middle was the hospital. I was a little sicker than that. Now, here's the guy that said detoxes were suckers and chumps. Now, what were two places left? The morgue and detox. Huh. Ego. Huh. The morgue and detox. Well, I'm here to report to you tonight that I didn't choose the morgue, thank God. Detox looked like the Washington Hilton to me. I remember checking in at detox, because that's what was suggested. I thought I'd visit. And I checked in at detox, and after 3 days, I was well. Because I still had the Gators and detox. I remember putting me a crew together in detox. That's how sick I am. And I looked over there, I see the security guard. She was an old girlfriend of mine. I went to her, she went to me, and we was going together again in detox. Now I got a crew with detox. Y'all coming in, bringing a meeting. I thank God for that process. But what happened was, I knew if I left out of that detox, right across the street was my Aunt Barbara's house. Well, I left everything at Aunt Barbara's house. Everything. So I know they had to pick me up. See, with that spiritual dilemma and a material solution, I had to go to one of them places where you're going to fly me out of town. I need to go out of town, but let me share this with you. It didn't happen. I didn't even go uptown. They picked me up and they rolled me past that crack house, and I looked over there. I really wanted to jump out because they looked like they was having a little fun, because I had been gone for 8 days. And I rolled past that house in the cemetery, and it went down. And in D.C., we got a nice, quiet community called Martin Luther King Avenue. And I seen that big chair, and it rolled on up. And it kept going, and I remember seeing a lounge where I used to be in when I was in a lifestyle with my arms crossed, and we had tables like this, and we had apartments. I remember it made a strong left, and I seen people with robes on with their butt out. And they said they was taking me to treatment, but I had arrived at the biggest nut house on the East Coast. Now I said, this don't look good for me, because I'm materialistic. When the vehicle stopped, they said, everybody out of the vehicle. And I say, they must not be talking to me. But I was the only one left in there with everything I own in a bag. So when I go upstairs, they call my name. And when they call my name, they took me down to a little room. A little room with no door on it. I came back out and said, excuse me, it's no door on this room. And they said, a guy like you, we need to watch 24 hours a day. And that's when I started my process at the grounds of the biggest nut house on the East Coast. I'm here to report to you, 2,805 days later, I'm still on that grounds of that nut house. But you're talking about looking at a guy where his life was at its worst. Today I'm a recovery assistant to a psychiatric nurse. I'm talking about a guy where the district government looked for me, predominantly all my life, with warrants or conspiracies or both of them at the same time. But the district government found me and they gave me a district government job. A guy that they say was criminally and mentally insane. And they're right. They're right. So that district government job gave me something that y'all told me about called leave. They allowed me to come down here on something called leave, and they paid me. See, it wasn't no days off on them strips and going to cop. Wasn't no sick leave, wasn't no annual leave. All days we was marching. Yeah, I was in the military at the end when it's all over. So now I'm at this big word that, you know, when I got here, y'all was talking about these real big words called jobs. That was too big a word for me. But I got one. Then y'all said, go to the job. Now, I had a different kind of job. It was new for me. But I thank God for Narcotics Anonymous. See, any addict can recover. And that's why I'm eternally grateful for Narcotics Anonymous. Eternally grateful. Because today, coming down to the convention center, thinking about my wife, coming down that road, I put a picture in the visor and I had Narcotics Anonymous on my mind and my wife. But see, y'all gave me some tools, because in that book there is a solution. They talk about the steps. Wasn't no steps on 17. Wasn't talking about no steps in the gardens. Y'all gave me a solution. Y'all gave me 1, 2, and 3. I had to get right with God. 4, 5, 6, and 7. Now I got a God. I had to get right with me. 8, 9, I had to get right with my fellow man or my fellow woman. 10, now I knew about this inventory. And 4, now till I can take a daily, if I got an inventory, I got to take, if I harm somebody, I got to go to them and apologize. Now 11, they talk about sought through prayer and meditation. This wasn't a prayer that I'll talk about in that Catholic church with the 10 commandments, because by this time I might have broke all of them except 2 by this time. So in 11, now at 12, my spirit has been awakened. I have something to give back to the newcomer. Let me say that again. To the newcomer. I remember coming down here to Ocean City, man, my first year. I'm Brian. And I'm talking about fixing a spiritual dilemma with a material solution. I had got that big word called job. And I got that check. And I thought I had to go spend every dime to come down here with y'all, because, boy, y'all fly down here. Oh, it's no question. But you're spiritual. You're both spiritual than fly. Yeah. So I remember this time. I remember stopping off at Queenstown at the outlet. And I remember the topic. A spiritual dilemma and a material solution. I got back in my car and hurry up and came down here. Yeah. Because I couldn't fix how I felt inside. See, I remember leaving that hospital when my wife died. I remember getting in that Mercedes Benz and going home to that house. I remember that hole in my soul where the Mercedes Benz couldn't fit in, the house couldn't fit in, nothing but Narcotics Anonymous was going to fit in. I remember that. I thank God for you all. You know, when I got here, y'all taught me how to be humble. A hell of a guy like me. I was so humble, I had to hurry up. Y'all had them nice, pretty cars that I liked all my life. So I had to hurry up and get one. So I got me a BMW. I was so humble. Bus, metro, and walking. That's how humble y'all had got me. Yeah. So I want to say thank you, Narcotics Anonymous. I'm indeedly indebted for life. In that third step, I made a decision to let God run my life, all of my life, just for today, one day at a time. That's the decision I made, and to go along with the rest of this blessed program and this fellowship that y'all have given me and showed me love. I remember when I got here, well, just before I got here, I used to hear songs like After the Morning After, After the Night Before. This old man got a problem, it's a bad one. Seems like I gotta do wrong before they notice me. Then I got here, I started hearing songs like We Fall Down, We Get Up. He saw the best in me, and I never could have made it without God and Narcotics Anonymous. So I want to thank you for having me here, and thank you for letting me share. I'm Gary, and I'm an addict, and thank you.